Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
713-572-4610. Let's drop a phone call in here if you want to get in. 713-572-4610. That works on the text page as well. To Seabrook we go. And Dennis. Dennis, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great, thanks. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a transplanted New Yorker. I moved here 13 years ago, and I've fallen in love with the Houston Texans. I've got to be honest, this Deshaun thing is getting old. It's getting old real quick, and I just wish we'd get over with. But my biggest concern is our tight end situation. I'm a big, big fan of Kahale Waring. I followed his career through San Diego State, and I'm under the impression he's not getting the respect that he deserves. Yes, he's been injured, but this is his third year. I think he's the future of our tight end situation.
Dennis, what has Kahale Waring done to warrant any sort of respect from the front office or anybody following the Texans, though?
Well, he was a big shot with O'Brien as far as learning the system, being there, and doing the right thing.
I feel like you've been brainwashed by Bill O'Brien, Dennis.
Well, I know, but I think honestly, Bill O'Brien's system and Bill O'Brien's offense might have been some of the obstacle with Kahale Waring. You know, sometimes now because Bill O'Brien. This is what you have to remember with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien despised rookies. Like, he hated them. Yeah. That's an exaggeration. But I think part of it with Bill O'Brien was that he couldn't do all the things that he wanted to do with his offense when he had rookies out there because there are a lot of adjustments to be made. Even if you simplify it, there's sight adjustments. There's they have option routes. They do all these things that are kind of complex things. And that's why Bill O'Brien, I think, was so loath to play rookies sometimes. There might be something to Pep Hamilton coming in and having his influence and him working with Tim Kelly to where maybe it becomes a little bit more user-friendly to guys like Kahale Waring. And if let's say hypothetically Kahale Waring's struggle was in some of the more intellectual or mental sides of the game, it might be less of an issue theoretically now. So we might see something out of Kahale Waring.
Hey, Dennis, can I ask you, when did you move here from New York?
I moved here during Hurricane Ike.
Okay, so back like 2008 time frame. What did you think of Seth's take on entitled Yankee fans thinking that Aaron Judge is not very good at baseball?
Well, I was born and raised in the Bronx, and I'm not a big Aaron Judge fan. How do I put this into the right term? I don't want to say I've turned into an Astro, but when we played the Astros a few weeks ago, when Altuve went deep in that third game, there was nobody happier than I was.
I
go way back to the way they disrespected Billy Martin, and I've had a sore spot in my heart for the Yankees since then. But growing up in the Bronx, it was hard not to be a Yankee fan, and I used to live and die by them. But I still have a bad taste in my mouth the way George treated Billy, and I haven't been able to overcome it. Aaron Judge, I'm not his biggest fan. A Yankee fan throwing a ball and a Red Sox fan. Come on, will you give me a break? Will you, Jesus?
Dennis.
Yeah, so, you know, with
we appreciate the phone call, Dennis.
Dennis and his love for Kahale Waring is impressive. I'll say that I learned this from Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips told me once, and it was really interesting, because, you know, Wade's been with a lot of different teams. And he said that he learned a long time ago not to judge a player based on what he did with a previous coach or what the previous coach says about him. Because, like, he would come in, and sometimes, you know, you have a friendly phone call with your predecessor, and your predecessor will say, hey, this one guy, he's the salt of the earth. I love him. This other guy, he's a bum. Watch out for him. He sucks. And then it turns out that the guy that he said was a, the previous coach said was a bum ends up just meshing just fine with Wade Phillips or whomever else. And scheme matters, personality fit matters, all that stuff matters. So I think some of these guys that have untapped potential that, you know, you've just seen it, those are the guys to watch that maybe just with a change of circumstances somewhat, Kahale Waring, Kiki QT, I guess who would the other potential guys like that be? I guess Jacob Martin, perhaps. Some of these guys that have shown flashes and have the athletic ability, one of those guys might really, really thrive with their new coaches in a new scheme.
I'll say this. I mean, if Kahale Waring turns out to be something, if they turn out being able to unlock whatever physical gifts he has, that would be a nice find. I mean, that would be nice to get something out of the third round pick you used on him. The call, it was Dennis that called in. Dennis in Seabrook, right? He's getting some love with air quotes on the text page. Ocho says, get that caller's number. I want to have Bible study with him before selling him lakefront property in South Park.
Oh, jeez. Is that an Easterby? Is that a shot at both Easterby and New Yorkers?
It might be. Yeah. Yeah. What I learned from Dennis's call is you better respect people or you're going to get on Dennis's bad side. They didn't respect Billy Martin and they didn't respect Kahale Waring. Kahale Waring is basically the Billy Martin of the Texans. It's just what I've been saying for years now. He's the Billy Martin of the Texans.
One of our listeners said he was upset that we weren't around when Altuve hit that walk-off. And honestly, yeah, look, I'm sure everything that's could be said has been said about all of that, including it. And it was nice to be up in New York because the gist of that conversation of those guys next to me that were hating on Aaron Judge, it really is. Look, it's been 4 years since it's been 3 years since Aaron Judge was talking smack about the Red Sox playing New York, New York,
right?
As they were leaving Fenway, and then they ended up losing that series. And a lot of people up in New York at that point were like, all right, these guys are acting like they've done something. They haven't done anything at all. Aaron Judge hasn't won squat since then. They got the highest payroll in baseball, and they can't win anything. They don't do anything. So he's everything that Derek Jeter is not.
Right.
I wish we were on air for that. And I wish I would have also, I'm sure people have pointed out that, like, Aaron Judge was a complete non-factor as they lost that game where Altuve had the walk-off.
I mean, would submit he was a factor in that you could argue he should have caught that double.
Right. He should have caught
the negative
factor.
Like,
he takes many of opportunities to not make plays at the wall.
Remember,
because we go back a couple years ago, and Minute Maid Park, because he had a little shoulder owie, he couldn't be bothered to, like, make a little bit of a leap out there in our short right field. The guy's 7'4", and he can't make a catch over the wall in right field. Easiest place in the league to make a catch over the wall in right field, and he couldn't do it. He is everything that Derek Jeter is not. He does not have that same grittiness and toughness and willingness to do whatever it takes to win in those really important moments. And this was just, look, it was a regular season game. I'm not worried about that. But I wouldn't expect, as long as you're expecting Aaron Judge to be your hero, the Yankees are never going to do anything in the playoffs, if they even make the playoffs.
Yeah, that was kind of a big regular season game, though, when you consider they blew a lead. It would have been a sweep of the Astros. You're going into the All-Star break, so you can't even wash the taste out of your mouth the next day. You got to sit there for 5 days and wait for the next game. So that was a big one. Not like the Astros have capitalized on the momentum really since that win, but it was certainly a nice Sunday for Astro fans. All right, Deshaun Watson workout videos are popping again here on the internet. What do Texan fans want to happen with this Deshaun Watson situation? I actually put up a poll a little bit earlier in the show. Do Texan fans want Deshaun around for one more year with the chance he might stay, or have they moved on from Deshaun Watson? The results, a little surprising. We'll get to them next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. All right, so I put this poll up earlier this morning. Seth and I were discussing Deshaun Watson has, not just yesterday, did a workout video go up. It was tweeted by a coach of his. Workout videos, him, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, Quincy Avery, all working out together. That had been something that had been happening while Seth and I were gone on vacation the last couple of weeks. Deshaun's just been, generally speaking, more active on social media. So the question becomes, okay, does this mean that there is, the clouds are going to part soon here and something happens with the Deshaun Watson situation? At the very least, we know this, that Camp Casario starts next Wednesday is the first practice, July 28th. So July 27th is when players report to the building, I believe, and something's going to give here soon with Deshaun Watson. It's one of three things. Either the league is going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, he is going to hold out and stay away from the Texans, or he's going to show up at the building. Those are the only three things that really can happen, because I don't think he's getting traded between now and next week. Those are the three things that are going to happen come next week. And so there is a possibility here that Deshaun Watson, at the very least, wears a Texans practice uniform again, if not a game day uniform. So I pose this question to Texan fans, and Seth, I think this is indicative of how the tide has maybe turned against Deshaun Watson here over the last several months. For Texan fans, would you rather have one more season of Deshaun Watson and whatever chance there is of reconciliation long term, and I think Seth and I both admit it's a small percentage chance, would you rather have that, or would you rather they move on from him now and you start your rebuild ASAP? Get going on the rebuild, have a bad season this year in all likelihood, get a high draft pick, pick your next quarterback and move on. 60-40 right now against Deshaun Watson being here another year. 60% of the people say move on, start the rebuild. And we've had several hundred people vote in this. I think it looks like almost 800 people. 40% say that they want one more year or possibly more of Deshaun Watson.
Oh, 40%.
40%, yeah. So,
and it's just an either or, so 60% say they're done with him.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's honestly not as lopsided as it seemed from the text responses.
Yeah.
Like the text responses were, hey, hit the road, Jack. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. Please leave people alone also on your way out of town. I think that personally, it feels to me, this feels like one of those great TV dramas like The Sopranos, where from season to season or episode to episode, characters that you couldn't possibly see liking each other all of a sudden are best allies like one season later.
Yeah.
And then vice versa too. Friends become enemies, enemies become friends, that whole thing. I think we're in that mode with the Texans right now where everything is so strange and all of these circumstances are so far outside the realm of what we've seen before that I can't sit here and say that if Deshaun Watson came back and played for the Texans, that there's no way that they could reconcile their issues. I think there's a chance they could reconcile their issues. I think there's a chance that especially if they had some minor success on the field, or at the very least that Deshaun had personal success and they could foresee it getting better in the future, that Deshaun might look around and say, all right, you know what, this, it could be a whole lot worse elsewhere, and I don't know how I'm going to be received if I go into another town where at least here you know, depending on however the Texans and them and Deshaun reconcile or what the conditions are, that at the very least here I've got some support system and some people that have backed me up somehow.
You and I think, are both of the thought of the 40%, which is, you know what, if he wants to come back for another year and play, I'm willing to, A, hold out hope for the small percentage chance that there is that reconciliation you just alluded to. I'm willing to live with the risk of an injury to Deshaun Watson if it means him coming back and being able to watch and cover him for another season here with that percentage chance there could be a reconciliation. Look, let's face it. The injury to Deshaun Watson that would somehow damage his trade value would have to be him losing a limb.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was thinking, Sean. The chance of a quarterback having a catastrophic career-ending injury are extremely small. Extremely small. And now, if you're that individual quarterback, you could say that, and you're still the guy that's getting injured, you know, like the risk assessment is different. Yeah. But when you're looking at it from the Texan situation, I think that the chance of bringing Deshaun Watson back into the fold, if they wanted him back in the fold, you know, we don't know exactly how they feel about Deshaun, but if they wanted him back in the fold, I think the chance of doing that outweighs whatever compensation you might get for Deshaun, because it's just the chance of injury is very small. Maybe he plays and there is no reconciliation, so you trade him for 3 first round picks next March, April, or May. Then so be it. But if you get 3 first round picks plus other players back, even if all 3 of those players are good players, it's extremely unlikely that they offer as many total wins as Deshaun does. Like, as far as the value of a quarterback is so far above and beyond the value of any other position player that you just gotta hope that you're the 1 in 10 chance that you strike on a really, really good quarterback in the draft. It's unlikely you're gonna get something back as good as what you get for him.
Yeah, that's the two reasons I would want the two reasons I would vote for the choice of having him come back for one more year with a chance of reconciliation. The two reasons would be, one, it would be fun to watch him play another year. Look, he's one of the most exciting players to watch in the league. That would be fun to cover 17 more games, at least, of Deshaun Watson being the quarterback of the team for which you and I cover the team on the flagship. Number two is purely about the small percentage chance that maybe, as Seth, as you alluded to, maybe enemies become friends again in this whole thing. It has zero to do with him enhancing his trade value. His trade value as a player is as high as it's going to be, I think, as a player.
This is the other side of it. This is the other side of it, too. For, like, me as a fan, like, there are a few conditions attached to it. One is that I got to see some genuine, like, him taking some genuine ownership and responsibility for the situation. Even if he thinks, maybe, if he hypothetically genuinely thinks that he's being railroaded or that these are all unjust accusations or what have you, at least acknowledge, at the very least acknowledge that you put yourself into in the way of some trouble with the way you're acting. At the very least. The second is, man, I can't sit through another season of the Texans struggling, but Deshaun talking about himself being legendary and how awesome his own performances are, even though the offense isn't actually good. You know, you're the 17th ranked scoring offense, but you're talking about how awesome a season you're having. I can't do that. Like, I got to see some level of humility or something. To me, the quarterback's performance is how good is the offense. And last year, the offense wasn't that good. It really wasn't. It just wasn't a good offense. They didn't score enough points. So I need to see a quarterback being frustrated that the offense isn't doing better, not lauding himself and patting himself on the back for how well he's passing the football.
Do you think that the Texans would want him back? You know, if next week rolls around and he shows up at the building like nothing's ever happened, what do you think? How do you think the Texans are reacting to that?
This is the tough thing, Sean, because I think the Texans would want him back if Jack Easterby had brought him back into the religious fold. I think if it was a very public profession of how he needed to recommit himself to his faith or something, then they might want him back or be willing to see, like, hey, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Forgiveness and second chances and all that stuff. So I don't know how close he is to that. That makes me want to, and then that would make me sick about the whole thing too, because, okay, is it genuine? Are you, like, is this just what you're doing? Is this a loyalty oath, or is this like a genuine feeling?
Okay, as long as we're playing these what if games, if there were to be a reconciliation, who do you trust on the Texan side to be the catalyst for that? And the choices the choices are David Culley, the head coach, Nick Caserio, the GM, Pep Hamilton, the quarterback's coach, Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator. Yep. I'll throw Jack Easterby's name in there, even though I think he would be a heavy underdog. But he's in a position that could have some influence. Who would you trust to be the catalyst for mending fences with Deshaun Watson?
Davis Mills. That's what I'm...
You know, I really like my future backup a lot.
I think Davis Mills... I want Davis Mills to start tweeting out like photos of him and his of him getting a massage, like just full clarity and disclosure, like, hey, you can watch me get my massage streamed on YouTube by this big burly like ogreish male massage therapist. You know, they like they did that. Even if he were gay, he wouldn't be attracted to. Give me the most homely male massage therapist you can find. That's who I want to be my massage
therapist.
Hashtag
be legendary. Yeah.
Yes. Hashtag be legendary.
Hashtag
be legendary. I think that Caserio was probably hoping that at that point maybe David Culley would be that guy.
Right.
But I think, ironically enough, I think maybe Nick Caserio is the guy that would be most likely to be able to do it, because I think it would come down to at this point, Deshaun Watson coming back to the Texans would be a business decision.
Yeah.
I don't think it wouldn't be about love or any of the things he was, openly weeping about back in August when he signed his multi-million-dollar extension. I think it would be a business decision, and Caserio could probably have the best business discussion with him.
I think David Culley was probably hired initially to be the guy to mend those fences with Deshaun Watson. I think his personality was probably a big reason he was hired, and they thought that Deshaun might like David Culley as a person, but he just didn't want to be a Houston Texan anymore. I think if I'm Deshaun, I need to be sold on Nick Caserio. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy I need to feel like, okay, if I had to pick anybody who I need to be excellent at their job, it's Nick Caserio. That's who I need to be sold on. All right.
If Jack Easterby needed some kind of profession of faith or something, the image that always pops into my mind is anybody that saw the movie There Will Be Blood. There's a scene where Daniel Day-Lewis is trying to get – he's the main character. He's the oil man who's trying to get – rights to put a pipeline through this property. The condition is that he's got to come to the Lord. So he goes in and lets this preacher basically like beat the snot out of him in front of the entire congregation to humble him. And he accepts the Lord into his life, but it's completely a business proposition. You know, that's what it would feel like to me, is Jack Easterby just, out demon, out demon, slapping Deshaun around as Deshaun professed his love.
I need to go watch that again. It's been a while.
it's a powerful scene, Sean. Yes. I'll tweet it to you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Are the Astros, speaking of deals, are the Astros on the verge of making yet another deal for a future Hall of Famer? That's next.
Okay, who's reporting it?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you on a Monday. Seth and I are back, and we come back yesterday to a tweet from friend of the show, Michael Schwab, who's pretty plugged in with the Astros. And Seth, the tweet said something that what I would imagine would be music to an Astros fan's ear that is trying to maximize this window that the Astros are in right now. If you're somebody who's not super worried about 2026 or 2027, you're just worried about what's on your plate right now. The tweet reads as follows. The Astros, this is from yesterday afternoon. The Astros are showing interest in a trade for Max Scherzer, according to people familiar with the situation. stands to reason. Look, it's a franchise. This is an owner who has authorized, granted not with James Click, but with Jeff Luhnow, has authorized deals just like this one twice before in the franchise's history. I know Garrett Cole gets, Garrett Cole gets thrown into that mix, but this Scherzer deal is much more a Verlander-Greinke type trade, given the age, the salaries, and the timing of it, if it were to happen, trade deadline type of thing.
Your team right now, it's interesting. It's interesting because we'll say, like, hey, it's just like Verlander, and then the Astros extended Verlander, but then you know what happened to Verlander? The stuff that happens to old pitchers.
Yeah.
They get injured. Like a previously very durable and resilient pitcher who'd worked through some issues in his 30s but still had been good, he got injured. Zach Greinke's showing more and more of the signs of being an older pitcher, you know? He's working his way through it magnificently, and he's adjusting to it. But Scherzer would be a guy that doesn't show a whole lot of signs whatsoever of getting much older. His whip, his whip right now is ridiculously low, and some of his other stats are as low as they've ever been. He's pitching the way he's always pitched. I guess the question is, all right, you're getting him on an expiring contract. And are you? Does this mean that you're just hoping to have some kind of an inside edge on trading up for him? I don't want to trade. It's going to have to be the right trade. Like I don't want to say Scherzer at a discount or anything, but it's got to be Scherzer with a really good feeling that he wants to stick around for a couple years after this. And with that money, that newfound money you're going to have from Verlander and Greinke coming off the books, then so be it. But I'm not willing to sacrifice the house, or God forbid you start talking Kyle Tucker or somebody like that for a Max Scherzer.
Yeah, not Tucker, not any of the young guys that are in the everyday lineup that are contributing to this team. You're gonna need some cheap labor over the next few years, especially if you bring back Correa. And I think that's a ripple effect that we need to examine. There's a lot to unpack, Seth, with the possibility, even the possibility of a Scherzer deal with James Click. I think that's something that's a really intriguing angle to this, is there any aspect of this team right now, the 2021 team, that James Click really gets credit for? You know, this could be a chance for James Click to put his stamp on a World Series champion with this team. It's Jeff Luhnow who's put this team together, by and large.
Yeah, I think that, if there's things that Click gets credit for, it's stuff that maybe it flies under the radar because they were re-signings.
Right.
It was Brantley being on this team when it looked like he was all but a Toronto Blue Jay.
Yep.
I think that's probably a pretty good – that right there might be maybe the most impressive thing he's done so far because of the timing of it and because of how close Toronto was to getting Brantley, apparently, you know, to where it was reported that he had already signed with him, that maybe – maybe that was a good case of brinksmanship there, and that he played it right out to the very end of the string, and ended up doing what he had to do to bring Brantley back. And then, of course, they have the Yuli contract, which has turned out to be a very good contract, and it was one that a lot of people were really skeptical about. Those are the two, but yeah, I feel like stat nerds and like in the world, the baseball prospectus world that James Click cares about, I think that circle probably likes those moves a lot more than the public at large. I don't know if Click feels a need to really put his stamp on this with a big name signing like Scherzer.
No, probably
not. Don't get
me
wrong. If I find out Scherzer's coming to Houston and then it was a couple of prospects that they gave up for him, I don't know, maybe Jeremy Pena is still in the mix somehow because he's injured, but the Astros and others think very, very highly of him. I'd be excited about it. I'd wring my hands a little bit over the pipeline, but I'd be excited about it.
If I'm Washington, my asking price starts with one of the young guys who are already in your rotation. You know what I mean? It starts with a package centered around Garcia or Fromber or Urquidy. I'm not going to say Click is going to say yes to that, but it's Max Scherzer. You know what I mean? You got to aim high. And I think you start with young pitchers under team control for several more years that have proven, at least in a small sample, that they can pitch at a very, very high level in the major leagues.
I'd be curious to think, too. You know, Javier is the kind of guy that maybe differing teams have differing opinions about.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for sometimes is, I mean, so much of the talent evaluation and projection that goes on in baseball now is almost just carbon copy from one team to the next. But when it comes to evaluating young pitchers, there's probably some room for judgment and different systems thinking. There's probably some teams out there that look at Javier is like maybe they like Javier better than we like Luis Garcia and vice versa, to where there can be a little bit of arbitrage there, and maybe it works out to where with a prospect, with a Javier or one of those other young guys that's worth a Scherzer at this point.
I think the other way to look at this, Seth, is we just outlined that the Astros have made two trades that look exactly like what this would look like. And if you throw Gerrit Cole in there, that's another high level pitcher that you traded prospects for to get a guy who is under team control for a couple more years. Jim Crane's the one who's ultimately got to cut the checks for all this. And this is a trade that obviously would put the Astros, I would think, into the luxury tax, which is, as we learned while you and I were on vacation, reportedly Jim Crane doesn't have a problem dipping into luxury tax territory with the Astros. I think the Astros are a team that's uniquely qualified to take a look at a Scherzer deal and go, okay, what have we learned from our history with deals like this? If you look at specifically, well, I'll just go with Verlander and Greinke because those were deals that look like this one. Made at a deadline, older pitchers, still a couple years left on their deal. Now, Scherzer is a rental as of right now, but I think any deal that involves Max Scherzer, whether it's with the Astros or anybody else, Scherzer's going to try to leverage an extension out of this thing because he's got a no-trade clause. How do you think the Astros feel about the Verlander, the overall? I'm not talking about just the trade. I'm talking about Verlander because you tacked 2 years on at $33 million. You got one start. You literally got one start for $66 million with Verlander on that extension. How do you think, in retrospect, the Astros feel about the Verlander and Greinke trades?
I think, well, like, obviously, if they could have it back, the trade versus the, I guess that's the question. How do they feel about the trade versus how do they feel about the extension?
Yeah.
The trade led to the extension, obviously.
Yeah. I would just say the overall Verlander experience.
I would bet that they would say, in a very stat-minded way, they would say that they still believe in the decision.
Yeah.
That they, like, that risk was in there, that they knew that they were taking a risk with an older player like that, and that they maybe would have made the same decision over again.
Yeah.
I suppose. Now,
you won a World Series. I think it boils down to that with Verlander. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
But the Astros also, I mean, you got to remember the Verlander trade. That was with that second trade deadline. So
yep.
It was later in the year.
Yep.
The Astros were struggling more at that point than the Astros look like right now.
Yes.
Like, the Astros were in a different headspace at that point when they pulled the trigger on the Verlander deal. And it ended up, Sean, that ended up being just such an incredibly, that was such a good bargain of a trade. You know, like, if Scherzer's available for what the Astros gave up for Verlander, then hell yeah. Do that in a heartbeat.
But that won't be the case.
You can't sit here and say that he's going to be available for just about nothing the way that Verlander was.
No, Verlander cleared waivers. That's why, the second trade deadline back in the day, there was a trade deadline at the end of July, and then there was a second deadline that you could make trades for guys by the end of August, but they had to clear waivers. I mean, if the league had known that the Verlander that the Astros were going to get was what they wound up getting, they wouldn't have let him clear. Someone would have put a claim in on Justin Verlander. Like, he wasn't pitching well. Max Scherzer is pitching at a high, high level right now. It's going to cost a lot to get Max Scherzer. I think they would do the Verlander trade, even with the 2 years, $66 million tacked on that they got one start out of for him. They would do it again all day long because it's basically like saying, hey, would you pay? You made the trade for Verlander. Would you pay another $66 million if you got a World Series out of it? Sure, I would. Okay. They would have done that all day. Greinke, I think, too. I think they've gotten what they wanted out of Greinke also.
I think right now, honestly, I feel like I want a reliever. That's been the blueprint all season long, where we've been complaining about the bullpen. And when you're worried about these young starters and how many innings they're pitching, it would help if they had a more reliable bullpen to where you could yank these guys a little earlier sometimes, where you didn't have to feel like you're asking them to go 6 and 7 innings, almost as a requirement because you just can't trust your bullpen, and maybe get some relief that way. I don't know, like Iglesias from the Angels or somebody like that. would probably make more sense. Unless, again, if you look, if you can get Scherzer at a song, then by all means, yes. It just doesn't seem like that deal's going to be out there.
No, I don't think so either. But let's pretend for a second that you get him. I mean, you get to the postseason. You don't go with a five-man rotation in the postseason, typically. You narrow it down to four guys. Hell, sometimes teams narrow it down to three if you're desperate enough. The Astros have enough arms, depending on who were to go out in the trade.
Yeah.
But you're talking about Seth Scherzer, I think, becomes your ace. Greinke's obvious. Greinke and McCullers are obviously in your rotation. You still got Odorizzi at $11 million a year, who's a veteran guy. Those young arms you're talking about, Fromber, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, they might not even be in your rotation come playoff time if you make a trade
right,
for Max Scherzer.
But I guess what I'm saying is, though, and I know that, but I'm talking about actually getting to the postseason. Like, on the journey to the postseason.
Yeah.
I still feel good about all those six starting pitchers pitching in the postseason.
Yep.
Like, without Scherzer in the rotation. Yeah. I feel good about those guys. Framber's last several games notwithstanding, I think he's going to be just fine. And for me, that's where a reliever in the regular season helps you get to that point where you're relying on just your starters and you barely need to use the bullpen. But it's also nice to have that extra reliever, too.
Could the play for Scherzer, though, be part of a 2022 and 2023 team construct where, as part of the trade, the Astros are very amenable to giving 2 years, $70 million to Max Scherzer, with Greinke and Verlander both coming off the books? That this is something that, like the Verlander deal, because I think the Verlander trade was about the 2017 World Series and the fact that you still had him in 2018 and 2019. I think the Greinke trade in 2019 was, it was about winning the World Series in 2019, but you still had him under contract for 2020 and 2021. Could a trade for Max Scherzer be something where you look at it and you go, okay, we've always had some sort of veteran Hall of Fame hammer at the top of the rotation with Verlander and Greinke going off the books? We really don't have that anymore. Who's our ace next year? It's probably Lance McCullers is probably your number one starter if you don't make a trade for a Scherzer. Could that be part of the thought process as well?
It's also, though, you know what? Like, because he asks, okay, how do they feel about the Verlander trade at this point? When you traded for Verlander, was he 35 at the time?
Hang on a second. I've got his page open right now. He was in 2017. Justin Verlander was 34 years old.
34 years old. Yeah. Right now, Max Scherzer's 36.
Yeah.
So it's 2 years down the line, and he looks great, and he looks good and all. But then you start talking about, like, hey, we trade for Scherzer now so that we have him when he's 38 and 39 years old.
Right.
That part of it doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
At some point, guys pitch into their late 30s. Some guys pitch into their early 40s, rarely. But at some point, those guys do get old and fall off.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's got me right now.
It's going to be really interesting. We should point out the trade deadline is actually July 30th this year because the 31st falls on a weekend. So they made the trade deadline is next Friday.
See, this is where being a wannabe stat nerd has spoiled me, Sean.
How so?
I should be jumping up and down on the table right now demanding that they sign Max Scherzer. But it turns you into the boring guy at the party. It's like, well, no, guys, I don't think you should jump off the balcony into the pool.
Yeah.
It's not the wise thing to
do. Right, right. No, nobody finds the guy at the nobody thinks that the most exciting guy at the party isn't the one who's trying to sell us on Framber Valdez over Max Scherzer as the first starter in a playoff series.
Hey, what you guys do? You playing beer pong? You wanna hear my? I've got a lecture on fiscal conservatism that I could interest you in. Would you rather do that?
Right.
Oh, you want to keep playing beer
pong?
Right.
Fine. You're the guy walking around with a breathalyzer at everybody at the party. It's 713-5.
Telling stories about people's lives who've been ruined by it.
Right. We should reset. Just somebody texted in. I just turned on the radio. Scherzer in play. Yes, according to Michael Schwab, friend of the show, and someone who's plugged into the situation with the Astros, the Astros are showing interest in a trade for Max Scherzer, according to people familiar with the situation.
And I guess my big thing is, let's go back and think about where the Astros were at the. It's funny. Where the Astros were at the point that they traded for Verlander, it was after Dallas Keuchel had already been critical of the organization for not making a play at the deadline. The team was very much in the doldrums and not performing all that well. They did not look like a team that was going to compete for the World Series. I'm not there yet with the Astros right this moment. just because they just had a really disheartening series versus the White Sox, and because the offense, the bats have really died over the last five or six games, I'm just not quite there yet. I'm still very confident in this team right now, and I'm excited about some of the young guys. I'm excited about the pipeline. If a deal could be had where you're not trading away a Jeremy Pena or a Pedro Leon or somebody like that, then so be it. Maybe there's some schmuck team out there that wants Forrest Whitley for Max Scherzer, who is still, by the way, listed as the number one prospect in most websites for the Astros.
What is the schmuck factor of the Nationals front office?
Yeah, the guy that has not been healthy or pitched well in seemingly a decade is right. The Astros' number one prospect right now.
A player who, with a skinny frame, actually showed up fat to spring training one year.
I showed up skinny fat to camp.
At age like 20.
His weight fluctuates 40 pounds from year to year,
right?
With seemingly no rhyme or reason, right, but he is the Astros' number one prospect.
He's not old enough to drink yet, but he puts on weight like he's 48 years old. Yeah.
He took a couple of pills that made him test positive for PEDs, but don't worry about it.
Right.
He says that a friend just handed them to him, so he popped them in his mouth. Oh, it wasn't his fault. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, 713-572-4610. All right, Seth, I think you and I probably need to go back through. You and I have been gone for a couple of weeks. The stories that happened while you and I were gone that I was most disappointed you and I weren't on the radio for, we at least need to get our takes out there on those. We will do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.